Open your Bibles, please. Time of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I want to read verse 1. Then I want to read verse 7 through 10. Got to see so many friends. I'll tell you, we love you people. But Joel, good to see you. Tabitha, good to see y'all. Amen. Yeah. Second Corinthians 12:1. Paul said, it is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. Notice he said, I'll come to revelations of the Lord. Verse 7. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation. Notice that word revelation. That was given to me a thorn in the flesh. The master of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. That's one of the greatest statements to me in all the Bible. Ever since I came down with that COVID, I've had to really anchor down. Right there. God's grace, thank God, is sufficient. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. God's strength is not made perfect in strength, made perfect in weakness. God's ways are not our ways. Darwin, who taught the theory of evolution, he promoted the survival of the fittest. That's right the opposite of the way God works. God promotes the survival of the weakest. Again, Paul says, well, I'm weak, I'm strong. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. Can you rejoice over yours? Paul rejoiced over his. What a Christian. What a Christian this man was. So I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. The key verse that I take this evening is verse 7. Paul said, unless I should be exalted above measure to the abundance of the revelation that was given to me, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. My leader's word of prayer is, I pray audibly, would you pray in your heart? Only God can make this service what it ought to be. Now, I don't want to be here pushing these people. I want to be a blessing. I do. I really believe God wants to say something this evening. Now, Father, our God in heaven, God, thank you, Lord, to try the mercy coming down. Thank you, God, for the good week you've given, God, your people here this week. Thank you, God, for Brother Mark Priff. God bless him. Now renew his strength, God, like the eagles. Renew our strength like the eagles, God. Father, I do thank you, God, you meant what you said when you said what you did. You said my strength is made perfect in weakness. So, God, you ought to be able to be really strong on our behalf because we're so weak. Oh, God, in Jesus' name, meet spiritual needs right here this evening. God knows that there's people here this evening, many, that's got a thorn in the flesh. God, help them. Please help them. God, give us the grace to accept the thorns we've got. Keep us from rebelling. Keep us from complaining. Oh, God, thank you, God, that your grace truly is sufficient. Speak now, Holy Ghost. Speak, God, here to say, help your people. Jesus' name, please help your people. Yes. Jesus' name, continue to bless this county. Jesus' name, we pray, amen. There are a lot of ministers in and through the church. Preaching, teaching, prime minister. Some churches have a youth minister, bus minister. Some churches even have a deaf minister, shut-in minister, rest home minister, tract ministry, jail ministry, prison ministry, numbers of ministries. But all of these are ministries to others. The thorn is a minister to me and you. Preaching on the minister of the thorn. Some of us would not be, listen, some of us would not be where we're at spiritually this evening if it wasn't for suffering. Suffering to drive you to God. Now, there's a difference in the Bible between trials, thorns, and chastisement. All Christians go through trials. 1 Peter 4:12, think it not strange concerning the fire trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. We think it's strange when we go through fire trials. God said, don't think like that. So trials come and go, but thorns are more permanent. The trials are more temporary, but thorns are more permanent. They come and stay. If you have a thorn in the flesh, you'll probably carry it with you all the way to the graveyard. Paul did. Yeah. Once God gave Paul this thorn in the flesh, he never took it away. So I don't know what's best for me. You don't know what's best for you. Only God does. I know this is a hard saying, I guess you'd call it. Some of us are better off with a thorn than without it. Made a better Christian out of Paul, and he was already a great Christian. See, we never arrive in this Christian life. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth for those things which are before. He said, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We press toward the mark. We press. We never get there in this life. You'll never reach sinner's perfection in this life. I've met some people who thought they had. Me and my wife were visiting back a long time ago, and we visited this home, and this elderly lady invited us in the house and got talking to her and found out she was of a different faith than we are. I don't know what brought her up. She said, I ain't sinned in 20 years. Let me get out here before lightning strikes. My mama didn't raise no food. I didn't say, you're lying. No, I just showed her one verse in the Bible. That's all it took. So you're talking about getting upset. I showed that verse right over here in 1 John. First John chapter 1. Verse 10. 1 John 1, 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. That's all I had to do is read that verse to her. Well, I thought she was going to flop me. I thought about it a long time since then. I thought, man, she had a good record till I came along. So trials are more temporary. Thorns are more permanent. And there's a difference between chastisement and thorns. Chastisement is to get the sin out once it gets in. But a thorn is to keep the sin from ever getting in. See, God gave the great apostle Paul this thorn to keep sin out, and he even tells us what it is. It's the sin of pride. Something we all have to fight. We're born with that. I mean, we're a chip off the old block, so to speak. We all came from Adam. We inherited a nature that's full of pride. I want to notice about six simple thoughts and let you go. I'm so glad you're here. We love y'all. We're going to notice, first of all, Paul's privileges. Secondly, Paul's peril. Thirdly, Paul's pain. Fourthly, Paul's prayer. Then Paul's provisions. Last of all, Paul's praise. Just like God gave it to me back years and years ago. I've been preaching this a lot here lately, though. Because of all the suffering I've been going through because of the COVID. Anybody in here had the COVID yet? Let's see your hand. A bunch of you. Number of you. You ain't had it, you don't want it. Rough. I even came to the place since I've had the COVID in which I thought it's over. I'm not going to be able to continue on. I just want to hang it up. But I'm going to come back to something here in a minute that happened today. Woo! Happened today. You ain't going to put God in a box. Yes, sir. Right. Amen. Furthermore, the Bible says in Psalms, the righteous shall flourish in old age. Yep. Hallelujah. There's hope for me and you. Then we're going to notice, first of all, Paul's privileges. That I don't simply mean, by that I simply mean Paul was greatly blessed of God. If you read your Bible, you know that. I believe Paul's the greatest Christian ever lived. Amen. Great Christian. You notice in verse 1 and verse 7, he talked about the abundance of the revelation that was given to him. This is the revelation of God. What he was talking about. It's all the truth God gave him. God, he wrote half the New Testament. I'm telling you, the Apostle Paul wrote half of the New Testament. That's a lot of revelation, a lot of truth. Amen. Apostle Paul had three successful missionary journeys. He had people saved. He ordained elders. He established churches. straight man. No wonder he had problems with pride. You say, you mean to tell me the great apostle Paul had to fight pride? Yeah, you see what it says. Plainly it says. He said, lest I be exalted above measure. That's used twice in verse 7. That's pride. The truth of the matter is, if you're successful in anything, you're a candidate for throne. It don't have to be just a ministry. You can be a successful businessman, a successful mechanic, doctor, nurse, dentist, lawyer, farmer. Just a success in anything. Now, I promise you, the devil will try to get you lifted up with pride. Yes, he's just that mean. Yes, so the great apostle Paul, he saw a lot, he heard a lot, he wrote a lot, he did a lot. That made him a candidate for the throne. So we notice, next of all, not only Paul's privileges, but Paul's perils. I repeat what I've already been saying. Christ in verse 7, he said, lest I be exalted above measure. Jesus said, he that exalteth himself shall be abased. But he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Folks, it's not easy to keep that stuff out of your heart. But we better keep it out. I don't know of anything that will get us preachers put on the shelf quicker than pride. God hates it. That's what got the devil kicked out of heaven. The Bible says pride goes before destruction, a horned spirit before fall. The Bible says before contention. Contention cometh pride. Pride. That's the reason why people are so contentious and hard to get along with and full of pride. Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 6, these six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are abominations of God. First one on the list is a proud look. Proud look. This is not a cup, but if this was a glass, cup of water, now I could probably walk back and forth across this platform for a good while without spilling a drop, but fill it up to the brim. You get the message. It's hard to carry a full cup without spilling it. Martin Luther, the white man who got saved, came out of the Roman Catholic Church some 400 or 500 years ago, made one of the most profound statements, most powerful statements I've ever read or heard in my life. Here's what he said. He said, I've often seen God allow preachers and leaders and churches get into the sin of adultery as a judgment upon their sin of pride. That's a powerful statement. And some of us have lived to see that. We've seen it. I'm not going in a bunch of name calling, but there's a preacher, he's deceased. He's been dead for years now. Used to pastor a big old church up north. Some of you know who I'm talking about. Don't read between the lines, please. But I remember one time, and it's been a long time ago, some of us preachers went to church where he was preaching a meeting. He was preaching morning and night. After one of the morning services, we all went over to the fellowship hall there at the church to eat. We sat down at the table. And he was sitting across the table from me at an angle I could have reached out and touched his hand. that close. And I sat there and I heard that man brag and brag and brag. When we left there, I said to myself, I said, this was one of the most arrogant men I've ever met in my life. You know what eventually happened to him? Exactly what Martin Luther said. He fell into the awful sin of adultery as a judgment upon his sin of pride. You know, I wonder why in the world do we have to get lifted up with so much pride when Paul said, what hast thou that thou didst not receive? If you received anything good, came from God, not from you, not from me. Paul, peril. Pride. Thirdly, Paul's pain. He said, that was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. This thorn that Paul was talking about is not comparative to the thorns on your rosebush. Oh, no. As great a man as Paul was, I don't think the thorns on your rosebushes or my wife's or anybody else's would cause him to pray earnestly three times. I mean, you consider all this man went through. You get home, you might want to read sometime in the same book, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, just the preceding chapter from what I'm preaching from. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24, unto Jews five times received thy 40 stripes, save one. And I think staggers your imagination. You preachers know what I'm talking about. It was a cat of nine tails, nine leather straps with a handle, pieces of sheep bones tied in that thing, lead balls, pieces of metal, and the person was beaten with that thing. And every time that man, whoever was using it, came down across the back of the person they were scourging, there was nine straps. Into the flesh. You know, even studying I've done over the years, sometimes one of them lead balls, a piece of broken sheep bone would come around and knock an eye out, knock a tooth out. Sometimes the intervals would even fall out when they would hit them with that thing and the bones and stuff would stick into the midsection and snatch it. Eventually, the interval just fell out on the ground. Some of them died right there, never did make it to the cross. By the way, Jesus went through that for me and you. Oh, my. What love, what love. Paul went through that five times. What a Christian. He never did waver, never did wobble on that. He said that I might finish my course with joy. And I believe he did. That man died with the victim in his heart. Woo! Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Of the Jews five times received thy 40 stripes, say one. Twice I was beaten with rods. Man, I can't imagine how painful that'd be. Once I was stoned. Yeah, you're reading the book of Acts where he was stoned. And left outside the city of Lystra for dead. And then the Bible said he got back up. Here's what's amazing to me. Look right down in the book of Acts. He went right back into the city of Lystra. Man, if they had beat me up with a bunch of rocks like that, I'd caught the first Greyhound bus coming by headed the other direction. Then he goes on and says, thrice I suffered shipwreck, night and day, I've been in the deep. generals, officers, and perils of waters, and perils of robbers, and perils by my own countrymen, and perils by the heathen, that's the Gentiles, and perils in the city, and perils in the wilderness, and perils in the sea, and perils among false brethren. Verse 27, in weariness and what? Painfulness. Talking about Paul's pain. That word buffet, that means to beat with a fist. That's what it means. From the time that God gave Paul his thorn, you say, you mean God gave it to him? He said, it was given to me. A thorn. He said it was given to me. God gave it to him. I'm telling you, God's running a whole show and God knows what he's doing. God keeps us from questioning him. Never makes a mistake. So from the time God gave Paul this thorn in the flesh until he died, the devil beat on him. Beat on him. Every day. I'm going to stop you, Paul. He gave him a left. He gave him a right. Gave him an uppercut. Left hook. Right hook, I mean. Left hook. He beat Paul badly, black and blue, spiritually speaking. Yet he couldn't stop him. You know why? God gave him enough grace to rise above all that. That's what God's doing to some of us here this evening. Your thorn's probably not my thorn. Mine's probably not yours. Some of you know what my thorn is. All my life, just about, I've been almost totally deaf. Almost totally deaf. I thank God for hearing aids because God in heaven knows I'm telling the truth. But Adam, I can't hear a word you say unless you got right in front of me and hollered at me. That's the honest truth. That's how deaf I am. Thorn in the flesh. Now it's COVID. That's a big thorn. I'm going to share something with you in a minute. About that. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. You ain't gonna back God in the corner. Your thorn can be arthritis. A lot of people got it. Your thorn can be kidney stones, recurring kidney stones. And I'm going to give you some prescriptions that ain't going to charge you a dime. Your family doctor won't be that good to you. If you have problems with arthritis, then I'll tell you something that'll get rid of it. Cod liver oil. You hear no amens. You're probably like me. You'd probably rather have the arthritis than to drink cod liver oil. Now I'm going to tell you a good one for kidney stones. I knew a man. Last name was Nick. Can't remember his first name now. Lived over in Georgia. We used to live over there in Georgia. This man was a mechanic and a good one too. And he told me that he had kidney stones bad. Just sometimes just numb. But he found out that drinking Welch grape juice. I don't know why it had to be Welch, but he found out he could drink 2 8-ounce glasses of Welch grape juice a day, and it cut it down to nearly nothing. All right. That didn't cost you a dime. But if I can find that offering plate, I'll let you put some in there. I'm joking. I'm joking. We ought to be the happy people this side of heaven. But you're throwing the fact to be sinus trouble, just can't seem to get rid of. Migraine headaches, that's a beggar. heart trouble, cancer, some mental disorder, chemical imbalance in your brain or in your blood. That'd be your thorn in the flesh. Diabetes. Boys, a lot of people got diabetes. Kill my brother. Here's a big one, depression. Depression could be your thorn in the flesh. Sometimes people mean well, but what they say is just not right, not altogether right. You'll see, you'll find some people who will tell people who are deeply depressed. I mean, deeply depressed. And they say, won't you just snap out of it? Well, that's what they'd do probably if they could. Some of them can't snap out of it. I've been there, I know what I'm talking about. When it comes to nervous breakdowns, I've had enough for me and you both. I'm not lying. I'm not exaggerating. I've had 8 in my lifetime. I've had 8 nervous breakdowns. So I spent a lot of rejection when I was a kid. My daddy was a workaholic. And he drove me and my brother and worked us hard. Worked us hard. When you're trained like that coming up, then you'll find, even when you get grown, you'll find you have a tendency to overdo it. Overdo it. Work. Overdo it. Then I heard Paul's privileges, Paul's peril, Paul's pain, Paul's prayer. He prayed about it. He said in verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice. And I mean, it wasn't just a Sunday school prayer. No, he said, I besought, that means beg. I mean, what he was going through was so painful, it was so rough, until he begged God to take it away. God didn't do it. We'll share something with you I didn't see for a long time. It ain't been long that I saw this. Just show you how God loved Paul and how he loved me and you. God never did rebuke Paul for praying about that. Amen. He didn't pray once, he prayed twice. He prayed 3 times. But in spite of the fact he prayed and prayed about it, God never said, hey, I'm tired of that. You stop that. He never did. God loved Paul. Matter of fact, that's one of the reasons why he gave him that thorn in the flesh, because they loved him. Just reading between the lines, I can just almost hear God say, Paul, I got too much invested in you to let you blow it. So here's a thorn to keep you humble. Pray about it. After all, God's no stoic. You're saved if you follow. And I repeat, he loves me and you. Oh, how he loves me and you. You know, if there's one thing I have to really confess to God, man, it bothers me. It eats on me. I'll say, oh, God, forgive me for not loving you like I should. I don't know about you, but that bothers me. And then I read where the great Baptist preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon said he had that same problem, so that helped me. I thought, man, if that great Christian felt like he didn't love the Lord enough, then no wonder that I don't feel like I love God enough. Oh, God help us. Pray about it. You know, Jesus said, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Jesus said, sick people need a doctor. Amen. Don't try to send me to Benny Hinn and all that crap. That man was sitting right here on the front row. And I thought I was going to die in the next 5 minutes. I wouldn't ask that man to pray for me. I'd probably die in 5 seconds if I did. And I'm not being mean or ugly. I've done my homework. I give God the glory, but I've got thousands on top of thousands of books in my library at home. I have. I've got thousands of books. Everywhere you go, books, books. I thought, man, if we ever have a tornado, it's going to have a hard time getting this mobile home. If it tears up mobile home, it's bad. But there's so much weight in this one, it's going to have a hard time getting this. But I did some reading up on some of those charismatics. I'm talking about, we got it documented. I could show you some things that would shock some of you. Shock you. Benny Hinn and that woman that comes on television sometimes, Paula White, spent 3 nights in a 5-star hotel in Rome, Italy. Hypocrites. And I could just go and tell you more stories like that. Anyway, coming back where we were. See, I was watching television back here. It's been probably a year or two ago. I was thumbing through the channels, and it came in one of them religious channels. I didn't say spiritual. I didn't say Christian. I said religious. Yeah. Wasn't nothing Christian about it. This cat Smack was on there, you know, he's a preaching boy. And you won't believe what that man said. This is what he said. He says, the Apostle Paul had the faith that I've got, he'd have been healed. Really? Really? Man, can you believe that? What a nut. But pray about it, because you may not know what's a thorn or not until you commit it to God by prayer. It was not a sin for Paul to pray about his, and I don't feel like it's a sin that I don't feel like it's wrong for me and you to pray about ours. Pray about it. If you can get help, get it. Then I hurry. Next of all, I'll be done in a minute. Paul's provisions. I love this. The Lord did not take the thorn away. But he said in verse 9, my grace is sufficient. Not almost sufficient, sufficient. Paul, I'm going to give you so much grace that you're going to rise above that. And you're going to be a better Christian with it than without it. Amen. You're going to be a better Christian from here on in than you've been your whole life so far. I'm telling you, God's ways are not our ways, but they sure are good. My grace is sufficient for that. I was reading a true story about this man who wanted to buy a Rolls Royce. Now, I understand them things cost a bunch of money. I wouldn't know because I don't want one. I'm satisfied my Chevrolet. If you got a Ford, I feel sorry for you. You know the difference between a golf ball and Ford, don't you? You can drive a golf ball 300 yards. Somebody said them Fords must have some beautiful motors because every time you see one, they got the hood up looking at it. I'm just joking. I'm just joking. You got a Ford, you may be better off not. We got to have a little fun. I'm telling you what, there's so much to cry over in this life, we better want to laugh. So he went to the Rolls-Royce dealership. He looked the cars over, liked what he saw. He'd go home and think about it. When he started to walk out the dealership, out the door, he turned and asked the man that waited on him. He said, by the way, how much horsepower does this thing have? And he said, I'll look into that. I'll let you know. So he wired him two words the next day. Just two words. Horsepower adequate. Paul says, grace adequate. That Rolls Royce had enough horsepower under the hood to cause that car to do what it's supposed to do. And I'm going to tell you clearly, God, we got enough grace under the hood, so to speak, to do what God wants us to do. Woo! Hallelujah. My grace is sufficient for that. Now I'm going to share something with you and we'll move on. Y'all ain't no hurry, are you? Y'all right? You still with me? You ain't mad at me yet, are you? I love you. I love you whether you love me or not. That's fair enough. Since I've had the COVID, as I was saying earlier, I thought, man, and I'm sincere, I thought, man, I'm through. I can't go on like this. I can't do it. I mean, God in heaven, my witness, I have suffered with this stuff. Man, I have suffered with this stuff. And I really believe it's the prayers of God's people brought me through. If people hadn't really prayed for me, I believe I'd be dead now. I mean, we did have two in our church to die from. And I hear people all the time dying from the COVID, dying from that stuff. Now, don't get all upset and worried and stop going to church and all that like some people have done. Now, God, if God don't want you to have COVID, you ain't going to get it. I don't care if you go to church 10 times a day. If you get the COVID in God's will, that's what I said. God saw it. He's running the whole show. Amen. I'm going to keep going to church. I want to be helpful in every way I can. What I'm hearing, you better stay away from that shop. There's people who got that shot and still got it anyway. I mean, if you've already got the shot, maybe you'll be all right. Go get Benny here in the prayer of your anointing at all. Maybe you'll make it. One thing for sure, whether you get the shot or not, I don't think it's a sin either way. But I thought, man, as sincere as a heart attack, I thought, I can't go on. I cannot go on. I can't hardly preach. I can't hardly pray. Suffer every day. Oh, man. I lay down and I'd say, I'd say, God, you said in the Psalms, he giveth his beloved sleep. Oh, God, help me to sleep, please. A lot of people who have the COVID lose the taste. You better believe it. I have to make myself eat just to stay alive. I don't want anything to eat. Very few things I enjoy eating, that's the truth. And the thing I used to love the most, I can't hardly stand it now, and that's meat. I guess I'm turning into a Seventh-day Adventist. They like to eat vegetables. Seventh-day disadvantage. When I was at my worst with that COVID, I didn't weigh about 156 pounds. Some of you have been seeing me for years and years, you know that I weighed more than that before I had that COVID. I told my wife, I said, I'm not going to worry about it. I said, I don't want to eat. I can't eat. I said, I'm not going to worry about it. When I get down around 110, 120 pounds, I'm going to start worrying about it. Why you say 110, 120? Because I've read the two books by that great military leader, Oliver North. He was a good man. Yes, there is. And when he was in Vietnam, sometimes they'd get pinned down in foxhole because of the Viet Cong. Couldn't get anything to drink, couldn't get anything to eat. At one time, he only weighed about 110, 120 pounds. But he had perfect health. So I'll worry about it when I get down around 110. God can perform a miracle and cause me to get back to eating. Amen. I used to love fried chicken. Now I can't hardly stand it. If a Baptist preacher don't like fried chicken, you know there's something wrong with that fella. The hardest thing in the world for me to eat, though, really, is meat. I'd a whole lot rather eat vegetables. But what I want to say, and I need to get on, I'm holding you too long. I thought, man, this thing's over. I can't preach. I can't pray. I can't hardly read the Bible. Every day I'm just going through torment. But this morning, it happened today. This morning, I picked up my Bible and started reading my Bible as I try to do every morning. And I thought, well, I got to preach tonight. Maybe I need to turn over and read some on positional truth, read some from Romans 6, because that's always helped me so much. I mean, every time I get down, if I go back and read Romans 6, 7, and 8, God will make that real, I'm back up. I'm telling you what, that's been a lifesaver for me. I wish every born-again Christian would see that truth. Man, it kills me because there's so few of God's people that see that truth. A lot of Christians are living on justification truth, but they don't know a thing about sanctification truth. And it just pains me in the heart. I'm sincere. Amen. I took a pen and a piece of paper, and I got to think about this particular man. Won't call his name. He's a great man. Great prayer warrior. But I went and heard him preach, not only on prayer in this church, but at another church. I heard him preach, and he preached from Colossians chapter 3. And he said, He turned to chapter 3, he preached from Colossians chapter 3. And he really emphasized what Paul said in verse 5, Colossians 3, 5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, and on and on. And he goes on mentioning some more sins further down. And he really drove that home, man. He preached hard. Woo! He's hard on those sins. And I sat there and thought, well, he has overlooked one of the greatest facts in this chapter that makes it possible to mortify the needs of the body. It plainly says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 3, for you're dead. He ran down there and got talking about our part. Mortify, mortify, mortify. Folks, you can't mortify. You can't do that until you have seen with the eyes of the heart that you have been crucified with Christ, that you died to the power of sin. Woo! Before God met with me. So you find here in the Word of God where he talks about the fact we're dead before, it says mortify. Then I got to think about the book of Romans. Romans chapter 8. He said, through the Spirit mortify the deeds of the body. Yeah, but what comes before that? Romans 6. You don't start with mortification. You start with crucifixion. We've already died, thank God. I ain't got to crucify Milton Taylor. He's crucified 2,000 years ago on the cross with Christ. When Christ died, we died. When he's buried, we're buried. When he rose, we're rose. When he ascended, we're ascended. This Bible says we're seated in the heavens with Christ right now. Woo! Hallelujah. We don't work for victory. We don't work towards victory. We work from victory. Victory was won at Calvary. And we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heaven, place of Christ. And God just waiting on you and I to see all this. And when you and I see this, there won't nobody have to beg you to come to church on Sunday. You'll be ready to go. It'll be in your heart. You'll want to go. Oh, I'd love to preach for 2 or 3 hours right now on this. But I better quit. I got to preach in the morning in Georgia. I better drink a bunch of Gatorade or something. Take a bunch of vitamins. But God met with me. And I'm experiencing right now something that I've not experienced since I came down with the COVID. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm enjoying preaching tonight more than I have since I came down with the COVID. I think you would call that progressive sanctification. Woo! Your best days may not be behind you, they may be ahead of you. God. Then we see Paul's praise, and I'm done. I'll hurry up. I've been holding you too long. Paul's praise. When God told Paul the purpose of that thorn, that it was going to be for his good and for God's glory, the Apostle Paul said in verse 9, the middle of the verse, most gladly, therefore will I rather glory in mine infirmities. Woo, what a Christian. Then down in verse 10, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm not strong. Hard to get a man down with that kind of spirit. Okay, God, you've given me a thorn in the flesh, but praise God in it. I've been preaching all down this country for over 50 years that if God could ever get us weak enough, ain't no telling how strong he'd be on our behalf.
You're right. Amen. Amen.
There's a reason why some of us go through so much suffering, hardship, one thing or another, so many trials, one thing or another, and have thorns and all that. God's trying to reduce us to nothing, that he might be everything on our behalf. Woo! That's Galatians 2:20 in my life text. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth where? In me. Christ liveth in me. The life that I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Oh, you've been wonderful, so attentive. Would you stand your feet? I have a word of prayer with you, and then I'll turn it over to y'all, Brother Clifford. Some of you may want to come to this altar and talk to the Lord about the thorn you've got. You got a thorn in the flesh, why don't you just come talk to the Lord about it? You're going to need God's grace just like Paul did. That's right. Keep coming. I'll pray and then they'll have a hymn of invitation. Father, in Jesus' name, speak, God, speak, God. Thank you, God, that you meant what you said when you said, my grace is sufficient for thee. God, I thank you, Lord. Thank you for touching me today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, that you're full of surprises. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, your grace is sufficient all the time. Thank you, it's sufficient right now. Thank you, be sufficient tomorrow. Help the people here to see it. Meet spiritual needs. There's one that lost in Jesus' name, save that soul. Bless Brother Phillips and others here. God, it's over this meeting. Bless everyone here. In Jesus' name, we pray.